So as we're singing and worshiping, do you ever take a moment to just listen? I mean, not that you can stop singing, you know, but I don't sing very loud, you know, to all of your benefits, but to listen and you hear the rest of the believers, the rest of the congregation singing, and we're singing the same song, we're singing the same words, and when you think of it in that connection, we're united at this moment as we're worshiping, and I was just having this thought as we were singing that last song. At that moment, we're united, singing the same praises to the Lord, and that's a powerful picture. And I'm hopeful that the Spirit will lead you to grasp a little bit of that picture this morning as we look at this idea of the church. And we've been working on through the church for a number of weeks here, but there's this idea of togetherness and this unity that we experience as the body of believers. And I sensed that just moments ago as we were singing that song, singing the same words to the same God, unified together that way. So I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I have my name tag on. And what I want to emphasize is a couple things. This is my name, okay? I'm not ashamed of my name unless I've done something really bad and I don't want anyone to know what it is that I've just done. You know how it is when you're young and something in the house got broken, perhaps you were the one that everyone blamed. That was me. Even if I wasn't the one that broke it, it was usually turned to me first and foremost. I didn't have to know my name, but they would say, all right, you know, sometimes you'd use your middle name, Ryan, Eric, etc., when they're really upset. But we all have our names. We talked about it several weeks ago. So if you've forgotten what your name is, this is a great way to remind you of what your name was. Remember Jacob? He said he was Esau. So what we have is in the front pockets there, if you are so inclined, I'm not going to force anyone to. However, we all have a name. But the reality of it is, not everyone here knows who you are. And this will at least give an opportunity on this kickoff Sunday for someone perhaps who doesn't know who you are to at least be able to look and not feel so awkward in saying, like, I should know who you are. They don't have to ask. They can just say, oh, Matthew, it's nice to see you. I didn't know your name. Now I can pretend like I know your name. And it may also help then for people to remember who you are. It was a beautiful picture yesterday, Sarah and I know some of you were there as well. I think many of us are aware of the passing of Eric Matheson this last week. And to find that you can have the body of Christ, you know, go beyond denomination and to support one another, it was a beautiful thing. And again, it emphasizes this picture of what we're looking at when we look at how the corporate body of Christ, the big, the global body of Christ, can do what we are called to do, and that is to love and to care and to carry one another's burdens. And we were able to see that yesterday with someone who does not belong to this local church, but yet is part of the body of Christ. And so we were able to engage in that with the family, you know, and that's a picture of what we are called to be as followers of Christ, unified in such a way. And so I had the privilege this last week of listening to our president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, Mr. John Stumbo. He was speaking in my hometown of Wadena. I know, right? Wow, you're from Wadena? Wow, you're such a celebrity. Everyone good, you know, came from Wadena, lots of people. Well, John Stumbo has some roots in Wadena. It's just not his roots. It's his brother's roots, who married a local Wadena girl. Anyway, so he was speaking at the Wadena Church, and I just really, you know, if you've met Mr. Stumbo, you know you can hear his heart. He speaks from his heart. It's very, very nice. He's not speaking above everyone, but he talked a lot about his vision and his passion really shone through. So I've read, I don't know, if you get the Alliance Life magazine, you've maybe read it. He had several articles in there over the past number of months. If you don't get the Alliance Life magazine, it is available to anyone for $0. That's right, for free. It's just like television with an antenna, okay? You don't have to pay for it. Now, you don't get very many channels that way, and you're also limited as to who's right. You get two channels? I got you beat. I got 41 channels that don't come in. Sarah hates that. I keep putting the antenna up higher, okay? So pretty soon we're going to have a flashing light on there, and I get more channels. It's got to be the right kind, and I know you guys are laughing. It's true. You have to have the right weather conditions, and then you can get some of these channels, you know. So if you stay up to like 2 a.m. on a humid, you know, summer night, that's your best opportunity to watch television. But I can't stay up that late. So, and I have no way to record it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But anyway, President Stumbo, he talked about his passion and his vision for the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And it fits really well with what I believe and what I hope that we can grab and kind of follow along with what he's doing. And maybe someday we'll expand on this a little bit in the future. But he was talking when he first came into the Alliance. He had to give this speech, this talk, this challenge to all of these other pastors. And I don't know if you've in your line of work, whether you're an engineer or whether you're a teacher or whether you're a pastor, and you have suddenly this responsibility by which you need to go into a bunch of your own people, your own colleagues, if you will. So if you're a teacher, you have to go into a teaching setting and now teach teachers, and that can be very intimidating. You know, or if you're a pastor, you have to suddenly go and preach to a bunch of pastors. That's very intimidating because you know that they're ready there to say, well, you're way off base, and they argue and all that stuff. But so here's John Stumbo, and he has to go into all of these big, you know, pastors, these people that have been pastors for years, and they know all of this and that. And he was praying, Lord, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to share? And so he's on this flight, and I don't remember where he's flying from. Doesn't really matter. And he said there was this word that came to him, one word, and he was just like, what, seriously? That word? That's all you got? That's all you're giving me is this one word? And the one word was love. You know, and it seems so basic, and it seems so not simple. But yet when we look at the scriptures, this is the word that continues to show over and over and over again. And so it's obviously got to be that significant and that important in the scriptures when Christ and God is giving to us this word over and over again that this is what it's about, this is what it's about, this is what it's about. And we're going to see that this morning as we look at some of the scriptures. But Mr. Stumbo then also, he expanded upon his vision for the Alliance. He says, we got to be about love. And he also said, we have to be here to proclaim. Well, jumpy. Proclaim, and that comes in two ways, to demonstrate our proclamation. In other words, if I'm going to share Christ, I can't just use articulation, I can't just use words, but it's got to be a lifestyle. It's got to be something that oozes from me, that comes out of me naturally as I engage with people. And this is what Stumbo shared with us. And then we need to be ready to reach, okay? In other words, basically, there are people out there who need to hear this stuff. And it doesn't omit just, you know, we don't just look for the high and lofty. We don't just look for this kind of people or this kind of people, but we broaden it. We look at this idea of people that are overlooked, all right? Sometimes we engage in only this certain group, the certain age group, the certain socioeconomic group that we're trying to target. Well, he challenges us to look at this idea of reach the people that are overlooked, the ones that are on the move and the ones that are lacking access. You know, that's where the Christian Missionary Alliance since its foundation, have always looked at this, especially the lacking access piece, where we are the one group that's willing to go into some of these countries where they have no gospel. There are people who are willing to be creative and access these different countries that have no other access. And that's where we see the Christian Missionary Alliance logo, the symbol. You find it on the front of your worship folders. A lot of people in our country maybe don't know much about the symbol or what our logo really even means or is about. And we'll cover that sometime in the future. However, he shared with us that you go overseas, and this, when they see this, they know that there's a group of people that are loving, that are meeting their needs, that are there to care for them, you know, in practicality. And so that's where the Christian Missionary Alliance has been about reaching people in these places lacking access for many, many years since its very foundation. And then finally, he challenged us with his idea of launch. That's one thing. This church does a lot of these things really well. But the launch piece of it here, and I've shared this over the last few months, this church has done exceptional when you look at how we have raised up young people and commissioned them into full-time Christian service. It doesn't have to be full-time Christian service. I'm just using that as an example of how we have people going into ministry, studying for ministry, missions work. We've seen this church do a fabulous job of launching these students, you know, and now these adults is what they are, into ministry. You know, so I look at this, and I agree with what our president is saying, and I just want to affirm this church. This church does a fabulous job of getting behind its people and coming together in unity. And some of this, what we share this morning, might be like, yeah, we do that, we know that. I understand that. But I hope that the Holy Spirit will speak to you this morning and help you to understand we're in this together. You know, the tagline that Chris shared this morning, that we're better together, and President Stumble used that as well. We are better. This church is better because you are here this morning. This church is better for having you being involved in this church. Okay, we are better together. And so as we get going, when I look at what President Stumble presented to us, I realize this is biblical. The things that he laid out, we're supposed to love each other, that's biblical. We're supposed to proclaim the name of Christ, that's biblical. We're supposed to reach out, that's biblical. And we're supposed to send out, that is biblical. And so I think and I believe fully that we need to be a church that is biblical. And what that means is that we're going to look at this stuff, and we're not going to follow what he's got here, because I think what we've got already fits well with what he is presenting to us. But I want to be a church that's biblical, don't you? You know, there's a lot of things that we could do to try to make the church more attractive, and I think there's a lot of aspects that we try to be relevant to our culture. I understand that and I realize that. But as we kick off some of these ministries, I want to emphasize, you know, the idea of small groups, it's intended to be biblical. Because when you look at connecting with other believers, and that's what you're going to hear this morning, when you look at connecting with other believers, that's biblical. And you're going to see this morning that doing Christianity on your own isn't biblical. It's just not. And so I hope and pray that you will grasp that with me this morning. So as we look at this biblical concept, and sometimes we look at the New Testament, it's like, well, that was for then. There's some aspects, I understand, there's some cultural relevancies that exist that are difficult to parallel on both sides of the fence there. But you see this idea of connection, and it exists. It always exists, and it's not just New Testament. One thing to know when you look at the Scripture and understand, is this relevant to me? It should match in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then we can understand, okay, that's a theme that kind of exists throughout the Scriptures. And so then I can hold to that. If it existed in the Old Testament, and if it exists in the New Testament, then it probably still exists for us today. And one of these things, one of these truths is this idea of connection. America has, and I think you can understand this, has really forced us to be individualistic. You know, and I love America, don't misunderstand me, but our culture has taken this idea of even Christianity, and we've isolated it and we've made it individualistic. And then what we have done as American Christians is we've taken this idea of what's biblical and what we look at Scriptures, and we've taken this idea of American individualism, and we've kind of married the two together. And so then what we have is we take this idea of church and we really make it about the individual or me. You know, in other words, so we approach it then, what does the church have to do for me? How can the church help me? How can the church help my marriage? How can the church help my walk with Christ? And all of those pieces are true and are in there. But if that's where we stop, we miss the truth of the Scriptures and what it's saying about togetherness. And so that's where I want to go this morning. It was interesting when I was in college. I remember this, and this is where I had, I don't know if you want to call it an awakening. That sounds really... really more spiritual than I really am, okay? But I remember in college, there was this trend as I was going, later high school, you'd have, the youth ministry was really big at the time. Still is, but that's, shortly before I was in high school, it was kind of like this trend for youth ministry was really coming up. And I remember going into Bible studies in high school, and there was always this question that people would ask when you'd read this passage of Scripture. And then they would ask this question. I'm not coming down on anyone. This is really for me here. They'd ask this question, well, what does that passage mean to you? And that's a very dangerous question. And I didn't realize how dangerous the question was until I got into college, and one of my professors said, "You're an idiot." Okay. Not quite in those terms, but that was in a sense what it was, because we were arguing with a Bible professor. Don't argue with a Bible professor. It's like, seriously, who do you think you are? You're 19 years old. You're sitting in a Bible class talking with a doctor in Bible. You know nothing. Anyway, so he challenged me then this idea. It says, like, Scriptures can't mean anything except for what God intended for them to mean. You understand that? Okay. And that's a big shift sometimes with our own. We look at it as like, well, this is what I want it to mean. Are you sure it can't mean this? Well, here's the thing. We got to be super careful, because this is what we do in America, because we look at this is about me. And so I take a passage of Scripture and I want this to apply to me in a positive way. And so we look at it and we try to adjust it. Well, that one doesn't fit. Well, I can make it fit. Or we look at other Scriptures and then we stop there. And that's super dangerous. It's also super challenging. Because when I want to do that, you can maybe omit pieces that are very, very relevant. And I have to say this, the reality, there's certain passages of Scripture that are very difficult for me to understand. And that just what that means is a lot of them I don't understand. And if I make the statement, I know this, I know the whole Scripture, that's just not true. There's a lot of it that I continue to learn and to wrestle with. And I think if we're all honest, I think we all, none of us know the Scriptures like we maybe even think we do sometimes. You know, and that's not coming down on anyone, but just looking at this, okay, so if I have Scriptures, my goal is to understand what is the purpose of the Scripture, not how that Scripture can be manipulated to fit to me. And so here's one of the mistakes that I'd made, and I want to point it out to you here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 has this passage. I'm guessing many of us have heard it already before. It says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" Well, what does this tell us? Okay, we look at it, that I am God's temple. And this is what my professor said. That's not what this passage says. I said, wait a minute, that's against everything that I've ever been taught. And he said, that's not what this passage means. And this is very difficult to swallow sometimes. What this passage is not saying, it is not saying that you as an individual are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's not what this passage is saying. Because of, if you look at the passage, the pronouns that we're looking at, he says, don't you, the you here is plural, know that you yourselves, plural, are God's temple. This is a picture of the church. This is a body of believers that have come together, and this what Paul is saying here in this passage is that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, not you and you and you, like three different temples. This is corporate. The language here is corporate. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, that being said, okay, there is some truth that as individuals, you are also spoken of as temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So three chapters later, Paul does emphasize, and so it's like, I felt this like, whew, at least I wasn't totally off base, okay? But there was a growing point here to understand that the Scripture can't mean anything that it wasn't intended to mean. This one is referring to the church. That's what it means. I can't make this passage say what I want it to say. However, fortunately for me, Paul gave me this one to lean on. He says, don't you know, now this is singular, that your bodies, okay, individual bodies, are temples, again, plural on the temple. So you're looking at multiple temples here. You follow with where we're going here? I mean, it's significant when you understand the Scriptures, you look at it, it's very significant change. I almost stepped off the stage. If I do that and fall, Sarah would laugh at me. She's just that way. It's not all bad. It's just really bad if you're rolling down rollerblades down a hill and you wipe out and you're all bloody and mangled on the bottom of the hill. And you really, what do you want? You want help. You want empathy. Sometimes you don't get it. Where was I? Okay. So do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Okay. This is each individual. So we are. There is some truth to it. And it says, who is in you? That's individual. Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. And this is, just catch this, there's a bigger picture, even though it's, okay, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is true. But catch this. You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. You know, we talked about a couple of weeks ago that, you know, how we were chosen. We're going to see that again, how we were chosen. You, as individuals now, you were bought with a price. And because of that, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I know you're like all confused now. It's like, well, which is it? Which is it? I can't make a mind. It's both. All right. So in Ephesians chapter 2, we covered this last week, but I want you to grasp the language that we see here. So it's in him, this is Christ, the whole building is joined together. The whole building. All right? It's joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. We talked briefly last week, we talked about Christ being the cornerstone, and the cornerstone was the first block, the first stone to be laid in this great building. And so he laid this big stone here, all right? That's the cornerstone, that's the foundation. Everything's going to come off of that, all right? And now what we have is, has in him, the whole building, this whole building joined together, so you see these separate pieces and they become one, all right, separate and they have been joined together, rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You see this picture. So he started as this cornerstone, and then block by block, we are put together to become a holy temple by which his Spirit lives. Do you see the truth of how the Holy Spirit lives as a body of believers here? We are his temple. We, together. Matthew 5. This is wonderful. And this was a new insight to me as well. Matthew 5. Catch the language again. We look at this and we default to individualism. All right? And there's an individual aspect to each of us. I understand that, to the church, okay? We're all part of the body. And we'll hit that before we're done here. But there's an individual piece. But look at this in the terms of the bigger. All right? So what we have here is you are the salt of the earth. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking to many people. And he's basically saying to those who are choosing to follow him, you, corporate, you, broad, you, big, are the salt of the earth. And so what do we do when we hear this? Well, I want to be salty. And so we individualize it. Well, what's my role to be salty? And I go out and be salty. And I understand that, and that's okay. But if that's where we stop, then we are missing the bigger picture of what we're actually being told here. So you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, think of it in this terms, if the church loses its ability to be a flavor, because what does salt do? It flavors things. It preserves things. We preserve the scriptures. We preserve the truth of the scriptures. That is our role as the church. Our job is to make people thirsty, you know, to yearn for that living water that Christ calls himself. But it's a church thing, not just an individual thing. And we're affected by the individuals, you know. I'm not making those dogmatic statements, but you got to look at this in the sense of you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its salty, and if the church loses its flavor, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And then verse 14, again, we have taken this and we've made it individual for decades. You are the light of the world. Yep, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, you know, hide it under a bushel, no. We have that certain individual piece of the light. But look at it this way. When, you know, our Christmas Eve service, we all have those fake candles now. Years ago, we used to have real candles, you know, and then somewhere, I'm sure a church burned down or something, you know, and now we can't do that anymore. It's illegal. But anyway, so we have all these individual lights. And then when those lights come together, it shines brighter, you know, and this is what we're looking at here. You are the light of the world. And catch it again, look at the language. Okay, you are the light of the world. A town that is not an individual, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people, plural, light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light, corporate, let your light as the church, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you see the piece here that is bigger than me? You know, we've taken it, and it's not a criticism, it's just a reality. We've taken it for many years, myself included, and we individualize that. And it's all about my light. How can I shine my light? Well, we, as a church, are being called to shine the light. You know, that's what we are called to display and to put on display. John, we hit this one last week here too. So if we're going to put Christ on display, we're going to put his love out there. This is what we're looking at. Dear friends, let us love. Remember that first point that John Stumbo gave to us this last week. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. If you remember, I shared this story a year and a half or so ago after our Dominican Republic trip. I was sitting next to this Indian doctor. He's from India, not Native American. Indian doctor. And I was just like, how do I bring up conversation? You know, I kind of wanted to have a conversation, didn't know much about this guy. Got to be honest, I was a little bit afraid because, you know, profiling and stuff. Just saying, I was afraid. But he's sitting next to me, and he's obviously, I was able to strike up this conversation with him. It was difficult, but he had these pictures of his family on his phone. And he kind of kept looking at these pictures of his family. His phone is smarter than mine. My phone is dumb. Did I tell you this last week? They sent me an upgrade. Have I told you this? A phone upgrade. So my phone is so dumb, they sent me an upgrade. They sent me a flip phone. That's bad. That's bad. If a flip phone is an upgrade to what I got now, that's bad. Anyway, so he's got this flip phone. So he's flipping through these pictures, and he's looking at his family. And I had this, he loves his family. That's obvious. It's clear. And so I just started asking him, who are these pictures of? And he started telling me all about, and I had this thought, and I didn't bring it up, and I kicked myself for not doing it. It's one of those things I just didn't submit to the Holy Spirit. But where did the love come from? I wanted to ask him that. Why do you love them? Why do you love them? I wished I'd asked. Because this passage says why he loves them. For love was created by God because God loves us. Now, he doesn't have that grasp. Okay, I'm not saying he's born again and things like that. I'm not universal. I'm not going there. But he says everyone who loves has been born of God. So there was this love. God had created this man and had created him with the capacity to love. All right, that's not something that's evolved. I don't know what your view of that is, but that's not something that just evolves. Oh, we're so evolved because we love. All right, whatever. Sorry, I don't agree. Whoever does not love God because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There's the command, okay? No one, we hit this last week. This is where I want you to grasp this morning and some other things. But this, if you get anything, grasp this. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. In other words, what this is saying is, no one has ever seen God, but if you love one another, people will see God. There's like, if we as a church can love one another in such a way, and then we express that love to other people, there's like this physical manifestation of God that people can see and people can connect with and relate to. And it's like, wow, that is something different. That is something unique. That is something that I want to be a part of. You know, in the Old Testament, if people wanted to see God, where would they go? They would go to the temple because that's where God resided, okay? And so only very few people could ever go in. The high priest could go in and be in the presence of God, but that's where they would go, is they would go to the temple. So here we have, in America, 2016, if someone wanted to see God, where would they go? To the temple. Where is the temple? The body of believers. We are the light of the world. We are the salt. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, don't you know, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so as a church then, we ought to be a place that can help people to see God. And there's only one way to do that, and that is by loving one another and caring for one another as we have been called to love and to care for people. Because collectively, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so someone coming in saying, oh man, I want to have the experience, I want to see God, I want to have this experience with God, it can only happen in his temple, and that's where we are at. You remember a number of months ago, we touched on 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at the language again. I know we dealt with this passage before, and we talked about how we are a chosen nation, a chosen people. But look at this. So God is in the business, if you look through scriptures, he's in the business of taking people groups, all right? And look at how the nation of Israel got started. It was with one man, I understand that, Abraham. But what was Abraham promised? I will make you into a great nation. In other words, I'm not going to make you into a great man. I'm going to make you into a great nation, a great people group. I'm going to do something really big here. All right, and we see also then for Peter, when Jesus connects with Peter and says, Peter, just so you understand, on you, I'm going to build my church. In other words, I'm not going to make you this great church as an individual. I'm not going to make you this great man as an individual, but I'm going to use you, and you're going to build my church, my group of people. You see that? And this happens over and over again through the scriptures. And so what you have here, so you are a chosen people. People is plural, a royal priesthood. A priesthood would have been a group of priests. In other words, I'm not turning it into, you know, a bunch of individual priests. I'm taking these priests and bringing them together so that you can be a group of priests, a group of people who are following Christ and proclaiming his name. A holy nation. There's the nation. It's plural in its makeup. God's special possession, that you may declare the church is his special possession. His people, corporately, are his special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness. There's that proclaim that we saw from Mr. Stumbo. Out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. So, and then once you were not people, I love this passage. There was a time when you were not people, again, plural. But now you are the people of God. It's not, you know, once you weren't a person, once you weren't a follower of Christ, this is a group. But now he's chosen the group. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So I heard this illustration as I was studying. I came across this illustration this last week. What we've done in some capacities as Christians, as American Christians more particularly, because when you go to, we went to Mexico a number of years ago, and remember one of the main things that came back after that experience was these people knew how to love, and they knew how to love each other. They knew how to be that kind of a church where they just gave everything, you know, and it was just bonded together. They would get together like daily, and they just were bonded together. And I understand that some of that is the dynamic, the fact that we were there. That's, I realize that, but they were still, you can't hide the love, all right? They can pretend to like, but it's pretty hard to pretend to love. And so we experienced that. But in America, what we've done is we individualize it. And so the illustration I heard was like this. It's like we go to the blackjack table. You ever play blackjack? I've never have. I'm not a gambler. If I was a gambler, I'd be broke because I have that personality. It's kind of an addictive personality. I remember in college, I know I've shared this. In college, I went and I bought a lot of, I was 18 now. I'm 18, I know everything. So I was 18 and I could go buy a lottery ticket, and I bought a lottery ticket and I lost. Yeah, I'll buy another one. And so I bought another one and I still lost. And the more that I lost, the more I really wanted to, I don't care about winning anymore as much as I just care about getting my money back. And I was, college, 1994, I was down $20. And for me, that was huge. Okay, it's like, I'm going to have to walk home because I don't have any money for the gas for my vehicle. Okay, it was a big deal, and that was the last time I ever did any gambling because I realized I would be a horrible gambler. I mean, just I would be just terrible. You know, I would be broke. I would be mortgaging stuff just to try to make my money back and never get it back. So that's danger for me, all right? So anyway, it's this idea. So you're at a blackjack table. You know how it works? If you don't, I'll kind of explain it. But what do you have? You have the dealer. The dealer is here. He's the one that gives you the cards. He deals the cards. That's by the name dealer. And then you have this table that kind of goes around the dealer. And different people sit at these different spots. Okay? And as they sit at the spots and the dealer gives you your cards, you have each have a job. And your job is solely based on what you have and what the dealer has. And that's what some of us have looked at our Christian relationship. It's like it's between me and God. Forget about the rest of the people because they don't concern me. My job is right here because it's just between the dealer and myself. You follow that? And that's not what we see in the scriptures. That's not what we're called to be. It's like this. If I was given a gift, all right? Let's say Sarah so generously gave me this gift, the football helmet. For Christmas. Christmas is right around the corner. You know that? Pretty soon, I can guarantee you, give a couple weeks, you're going to see Christmas stuff at Walmart. That's right. Buy it early. That's the important thing. So I received this gift. It's not really mine. It's Isaac's. It won't fit my head. I tried it on. I received this gift. All right. Wow, this is wonderful. Think of the things. I'll pretend to fit. Think of the things I could do with this. I mean, I could put it on my head, and I could go for a bike ride. And that way, if I wiped out on my bike, my head would be protected. All right, or I could go racing down the road in my car, and I could have this helmet on, and it would help, you know, protect me there. I mean, just think, the options are endless. I could go rollerblading down that steep hill with the helmet on now and not worry about what happens to my head. I could even, let's say I get super stressed out at home, which never happens, never. I could put this on my head and then start pounding it against the wall, and not hurt my head anymore, you know? And so the options here is countless. It's like, it's a wonderful gift, and I have all kinds of different uses for it. But it's like, okay, wait a minute. When Sarah would then come up to me and says, I didn't give you that for those reasons. It's a football helmet. Well, I know, but I can use it for this. Fine. But it has a purpose. And what you do is you put it on, and then you're part of that team. You know, then you get together with the rest of the people, the rest of your players, the rest of your team, and you actually use this then to be a part of the team. You understand it? So I can take what I have. I can take my Christianity and I can put it on and I can, it's like, there it is. I've got what I need, but I'm missing out on this idea of what it was originally given for. Sometimes we look at salvation as like, this is for me. Now I have been forgiven of my sins. And that's true. But I believe that our salvation was for something a lot bigger than just saving me from my sins. My salvation is so that I can get together with other believers and I can proclaim Christ and I can show love. Here's the thing. I know I hit on this just briefly last week. Can you forgive someone by yourself? I know you can choose to forgive someone, but think of it. Okay, by yourself, you're the only one there. Can you demonstrate forgiveness? It's not possible. I mean, the only one you can forgive is yourself for something you did to yourself. You know what I'm saying? There is no picture of the church and the forgiveness that has to offer if I do it by myself. You're tracking with me on that one? Okay? So it'd be kind of like this. I can't exemplify the love for someone else. I can't do what Christ asked me to do in the sense of loving one another if it's just me. How do you love one another if there is no one another around you? You understand? And so if I'm called to do what Christ has called me to do as part of the church, I don't have a choice but to be with others. To love one another, I have to love one another. And I can't just be loving myself. To demonstrate what Christ has called us to do, which is to forgive people, I have to be with relationship, because you cannot forgive just on your own. You know, and then what thinking of it in this way, so the idea of forgiving, let's say I'm generous because Christ has called me to be generous, and I let someone use my car, all right? We'll say Mark. I always pick on you. I let Mark use my car, and Mark says, yes, sweet, and he just trashes it. I mean, he just destroys it. He can't even bring it back because there's no wheels left on the thing. He just destroyed it. And I just say, oh, that's okay. I forgive you. Don't worry about it. That's not going to happen, just to clarify. Either one. But I forgive him for that. You know, or someone has wronged me so deeply. It's like, how could they do that? How could they betray me in such a way? And yet it's like, oh, I forgive you. You can't do that by yourself. In fact, who does that? Jesus does that. You see that? He was betrayed. He was disowned, he was beaten, and yet he forgave. And that is what we are called as the church to demonstrate, is that kind of passion and that kind of love. But it's corporate. It's not just individuals. And so as people come to the church and they look at what's this church about, they should see love and they should see forgiveness. And you can't do that by yourself. What I'd like to do here, I'm going to be wrapping up, you know, real shortly. So we look at this passage in Deuteronomy, and this reemphasizes, remember, I'm not going to go through it, but this is the passage that it showed how when the Israelites would obey and do what God had asked them to do, they would actually be proclaiming God. They would be proclaiming the goodness of him. You know, so we see that, you know, for this will show wisdom and understanding to the nations. This is what it's going to demonstrate to others. When you obey me, this is going to show it. What we're commanded to do now is to love one another. So when we do that, when we obey him, when we love one another, it demonstrates our wisdom and understanding to the nations so that they will hear about these things and they'll say, there's something great going on here. So what I'd like to do as we kind of wrap up, this is Kickoff Sunday, when it's an opportunity to hear about ministries. I've asked three different people, and they're going to come up, and they're just going to share real briefly. I'm not going to hold you real long. They're going to share real briefly about their ministry. And some of it might surprise you because someone's like, wow, I never really thought of that as a ministry before. Some of it may surprise you, like, oh, I guess I didn't realize we even had that going on. And some of it may just like, wow, it's so good to hear what the Lord is doing in these capacities. So Barb, you're first up. Barb is going to come up and she's going to share with us. And I want you to hear Barb's heart because when she shared this with me the first time, I thought, yes, this is exactly the way it needs to be. So come on up, Barb. I'm going to use white, Kim.
I really don't know why I'm up here because I don't like speaking in front of groups. So this is one of my least favorite things to do. But there has been, or I've been on a welcoming assimilation task force with six others, and we've been meeting for a while. And our challenge has been to find ways to welcome and keep new guests. We do not want to be a revolving door church. For this reason, some of us will be taking on additional duties of greeting guests and trying to make new guests feel more connected. But we would like to point out that it is everyone's responsibility, each and every one of you, to make visitors or newcomers feel welcome, not just the greeters. So if you bring somebody, if you see somebody new that you do not know, or that they've been coming here for a while and you haven't met them, go up and meet them. And one of the reasons that we have the name tags on today, and Pastor Chris said it neat that they're called Connect cards to fill out and wear today, is because I'm a senior citizen and I totally forget everything, and especially names. I can't even remember that guy's name that I came to church with this morning. So, you know, how... Just ask Pete, Pastor. I was sitting with the wrong guy the other morning at coffee. So I have a bad memory, and that's one of the reasons we have name tags on today. And I'd like to do it occasionally other times. So if I ask you your name about 10 times, don't feel bad. It's just me. Take the initiative to visit with new guests. Smile and offer your hand. Even if someone has been attending for a while and you don't know them, introduce yourself and let them know you are interested in them. Tell them you are glad they are attending. Invite them to have coffee with you after the service. We want everyone to connect with us. Our goal is now to worship, connect, and serve. We are better together. We need to connect. And just one more thing to mention. It would be great if everyone could fill out your registration forms, especially if you have not been getting your emails from church. You will not be signing your life away. We're not going to be selling your name to an internet company. This is just one more way to connect. On our website, we have the ability to sign in and see our names and phone numbers. Only active members with authorization have access to view this directory. And this is just one more way to stay connected. So please fill out your registration forms. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. I just appreciate Barb's heart. Come on up, Caitlin. Barb's heart when she talks about it's our responsibility, and we all can do that. That's what's so beautiful about it. It can come natural. I've asked Caitlin also. She's going to speak in regards to the MOPS ministry. Maybe you don't know what MOPS is. She's going to clear that up for you this morning as well, but it's a fabulous opportunity.
Hi, everyone. I am Caitlin Mueller. I am the coordinator this year for our MOPS group. We want to say thank you to our awesome church and its members for supporting our MOPS ministry. If you don't know what MOPS is, it stands for Mothers of Preschoolers. We meet two times a month for 2 hours each, and we have awesome volunteers that watch our kids. These 2 hours provide us with support, friendships, and connections for moms in our community. MOPS is also a blessing to new moms in the area. This year we have 3 moms who are new to Little Falls, which is exciting. And actually 4 years ago, I was a new mom to Little Falls, so it is a big deal. So anyways, that's MOPS. If you know a mom who would be interested in MOPS, please let me know. Sometimes we'll have a mom come up who will say, well, I can't pay for the fee this semester. Can I get you next semester? And we have members in our congregation that sponsor a mom. So we can say, just don't worry about it. And we can pay for their fees. So if you feel called to sponsor a mom, please see me afterwards. I'll be out by the coffee. And it's usually about $25, and that'll pay for half of their fee. Also, if you love kids, we are always happy to have more volunteers on our list for workers to watch our kids. So you can see Darla or Carrie. So if you don't know who they are, you can see me too. So is that it?
It's good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. So again, you know, MOPS, and I'm here when MOPS meets, and I've been able to participate, but Sarah, who was heavy into MOPS, come on up, Joetta, really engaged in MOPS, and I appreciate Caitlin sharing. You know, she was a new mom just a few years ago, you know, and here she is, and she's coordinating the MOPS group. This is ours. You understand that? MOPS ministry, yeah, you might not be, guys, you might not be a mom, okay? Hate to break it to you. It's like, what? And it's like, wow, what role do I have? It's MOPS ministry. You have a role. I'm getting a little off. Hang tight. This last week, you know, if you hadn't heard, you know, Roland Jennings, you know, took a pretty significant fall and injured himself, had a heart attack. The Lord's been so good to him, and he's doing great. But I just, when sharing that with our family, I shared it with Isaac. And Roland, maybe you didn't realize this, but every Wednesday all summer long, Roland would come here to the church and he would pray for the church. You know, and I realize Roland is, and he would be the first to admit, he's not spry, I think was the word that he used to me, okay? He's not spry anymore. But talk about someone who's like, all right, he can't do what he used to do, but he's just as much a part of the body as he ever has been. And sometimes his role takes on a little different role, but talk about someone who's committed to praying for the church. I mean, we're praying, I'm with him, we're praying for MOPS, we're praying for the Holy Spirit just to rest on it, we're praying for needs that we know in the church, we're praying for the Christian Missionary Alliance abroad. It's amazing, but Isaac has joined us a couple of times, and it just was neat to hear, and I don't remember what his words were, but I got the impression, it's like, wait a minute, Roland, we need him, you know? And that this is my point, okay? So you may not be a mom, engaged in MOPS group, that doesn't mean you're disengaged, because MOPS is part of what we are, is who we are, and same thing's going to go true with, because you may not be a child any longer, Mark, it's over, okay, or even have young children any longer, but this is still us, we are better together. Joetta.
Hello, good morning.
So I am Joetta, I am the Director of Children Ministries, and first, we're just going to go, I just want to explain how today is going to go. So if you have kids, this is your time to focus. So after worship is done, if you can send all the kids upstairs to the old sanctuary, we're going to go over teachers and where their classrooms are, and we're going to do a little fun activity. And then at 11 o'clock, we will dismiss from upstairs, and all the kids will come running on down, because there is food, and you know how that goes. So, I mean, the kids will run on down, and we're going to have lunch here at 11, and then there will be an obstacle course bouncy house set up outside. Daniel, this year, can you chill out a little bit on that? Let the little kids go first. I'll talk to you after, okay? So, but that's how today is going to go. If you are new to the church and have never been at Sunday school here, please, please follow the herd of children upstairs, and we will tell you all about it and show you. As a parent, I will connect with you after, and we'll go over kind of what Sunday school is here at Alliance. So just giving you a heads up there. So that's how today will be going. But I also want to take this opportunity to thank you, to thank each and every one of you for, first of all, as a parent and as a representative of all the other parents here, for you guys to love our children. It is amazing the amount of love that you guys pour out to our kids. And for them to feel that love is wonderful. And I also want to say thank you for supporting me and encouraging me in my position. It is a blessing to have this position, and I have felt just so supported from each and every one of you. And I also want to say thanks for knowing how important children ministry is to this church. These kids are our future, and these kids are going to be the future missionaries that go out, that we send out to this world to make this world a better place that we all live in. And thank you for investing in those kids. And I can't think of a better way to share how we invest than to share our typical run to Colborne's. This is our typical, when we go to Colborne's and go grocery shopping, this is our typical time. We get in there, and the kids beeline it to the service counter off to the left, and then they start waving like this. And it seems like forever, but who they're waving at is Gary Sparrow in the pharmacy. And finally, he will look up and give them the biggest smile and wave. And they have the biggest smile too. And then we can take off and we can continue. That probably takes about 5 seconds, but as a parent, it feels like an eternity when your kids look like they're flagging down a cop. You know, like they're going wild. So then we make our way through the store, and inevitably, we see Ev Olson. You must live at the grocery store, or we just have some really weird habits of meeting every single time. I almost missed you on Friday. You were parked in a different parking spot than the usual over by the Ace. You parked over by the deli this time, but I still found you. So, I mean, just to give you a wave and a high five, and how was your day? And then we also get to the checkout. And then we have lovely Judy, who will greet you with the biggest smile and the biggest, hello, Joetta, that you've ever had. And hopefully she calls you by name. I hope she doesn't call you Joetta, because that would just kind of be weird. But, I mean, that's just the love and outpouring that we get just from going to the grocery store. And then finally, we get out into the car, get everything packed up, everybody's buckled up, and we're leisurely driving down the street, and this madman on a bike will come whipping by you, and the kids are like flocking out the window like they have just been kidnapped. And it's Pastor Ryan on his bike going 80 down this little road. Speed limit is 30, sir. I don't know if patrol bikes, but they should, because it's probably a safety thing. You might need to start wearing this helmet. 30 miles an hour. And so they're waving at Pastor Ryan as we go by, and then when we get by the church, Mr. Pete Ring will always be working on the lawn or mowing or doing something here. So the kids are again freaking out in the back seat. But that is the love that we feel from a trip to the grocery store. And I'm not the only mom that feels this. I can see Carrie Vogt's smile going on. I can see Caitlin's smile, Kate's smile. I mean, this, you guys love our kids, and I love that. And if you're ever looking for opportunities to help children ministries out, we have many, many ways. And actually, 80% of those people do not have kids in children ministries actively. And if you ever think, ugh, I've outgrown that, I'm through that stage of my life, we're never through that stage. We never are. We are always invested in our kids. And as a church family, we will always be invested in these guys. So thank you. See me if you want to be active. We would love to have you snuggling babies in the nursery. There's a cute set of twins that are usually there every Sunday. So we need you. So please see me. Thank you.
Thank you, Joetta. So we're going to kind of wrap it up. And I want to give some instructions, emphasizing what Joetta had said there too. We have other ministries, and they're not just pieces of ministry here and pieces of ministry here. What I want us to grasp is these are our ministries. You know, Chris, yes, he's in charge of the youth ministry, but that's our ministry. You know, we own, as a church, that is our ministry. We have an Awana ministry, and the same thing. I've talked with Pete, and that's our ministry. And we have a responsibility with those ministries as we connect and reach people. We have some women's ministry. Joetta also handles a lot of that aspect that she didn't even touch on, as well as there's others like Sarah and Chris who are active and working together, and Cindy, for that matter, working with women's ministry. And we have other ministries, and they're part of us, this corporate body. It's us. We are better together. So I want to leave you with this passage. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." You remember many weeks ago we had the Mr. Potato Head illustration up here that we found, and how you take one piece off and it just doesn't fit. You know, it belongs to the body. And likewise, we all are part of and belong to the body. I'm going to have Kevin come up, and they're going to lead us in one final worship song. When the song is done, I'll give a prayer as a benediction, and then the children are going to go with Joetta, just as she said. The rest of us, I would like us to stay. I would want us to stay for the meal, but I want us to stay even engaged while the kids are getting acclimated to their Sunday school time. Starting next week, we're going to have small groups available. It is not too late to sign up for small groups. And even after that, and Chris is right, you can still be engaged in the small groups. You can approach these small group leaders. But what I challenge you to do is give some thought. All right, what small group? Can I get engaged in that way? Because we need each other. We are better together. So you can sign up for the small groups. And I encourage you to do that. And if you've already signed up for a small group, I encourage you to try to connect with your small group leader. And they may not be here, I understand that. But try to connect with some of the people that are part of your small group. You can see them on the list there. And then stay for the meal and connect with the body of Christ, because that's what we are, is we are together. We are better together. We are the body of Christ.